I want to answer a very burning religious question today. So, I know this is probably on all your minds, but I've been hearing this term thrown around a lot lately, mostly among religious circles, but sometimes amongst believers too, that we know, and it's a term of brokenness. The question, the burning question I wanted to answer, and actually the term is used in light of, we're broken people and we're sinners and all this, and it's quite common. There's a lot of music out there that says this. And, you know, so the burning question I want to answer, I don't know, Patrick, you really want to answer the answer to this question, is, are we a broken people? You know, I'm just amazed at how often people talk about this. You know, it's in the light of, we're broken and we're sinners and, you know, we always need to be conscious of that. And, let's see what the Word of God says about that. Romans chapter 3 is a good place to start. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That sounds pretty broken. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Which is a nice summary. If you read, the first part of Romans deals with Jew and Gentile and all mankind. And after dealing with all that, this is God's conclusion. There is not one righteous. There is not one that doeth good. No, not one. And if you were to leave it at that, you would say, yes, we're definitely a broken people. But that's not where it stops. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. That was the purpose of the law, that the entire world could see, okay, we're guilty. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For remember, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So if we're justified or made righteous by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, are we still unrighteous? Are we still sinners before the Lord exceedingly? It says here we are right, justified. That's what it says. If you're justified, you're not broken anymore. Keeping on going. Verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a payment or propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, to the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. If he's the justifier or the righteous maker of him who believes in Jesus Christ, then when we believe on Jesus Christ, all that section that God covered in the early part of Romans there no longer applies to us. We are now been justified, made righteous before God. In Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified, which we just read about, by believing, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we grovel daily. No, it says, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, I mean, am I the only one who has heard this term? Have you guys heard this term? But everybody's always talking about their brokenness, bring your brokenness and all this. I'm talking about, you know, top men in Christian circles who still teach God's word say this regularly to millions of believers. And yet the Word of God says quite the opposite. It says we're righteous. It says we stand in hope of the glory of God. It says we're justified by the work of Jesus Christ. Well, in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, and now notice here, you're going to notice the words were. Okay? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So at one time we were without strength, at that time Christ died for the ungodly, who we were. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were, past tense, yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, were sinners, were not right. See, that's all past tense. When we were reconciled, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So we are no longer enemies. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Enemies, unrighteous, sinners, now justified, atoned, righteous. Does that sound like we're broken people? You know, groveling before God for a little morsel? It's not what God's word says. Verse 17. If by one man's offense, talking about Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of their gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Reign in life. Does reigning in life sound like sinners broken? It sounds like we ought to reign in life. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. Much more they which receive... Okay, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Not sinners anymore. You're not a groveling sinner, broken person, begging for God for a little bit of help. You're supposed to be righteous before God, reigning in this life, standing in the grace of God. That's what the Word of God says. Of course, there is another being in this world who would like you to think that you should grovel, and he shall not be mentioned. Would like you to have you grow. Would like you to think you're a sinner and you're a broken person. And you know, the other thing they always say is, I'm going to talk about all these religious terms I hear recently. You know, God's not done with me yet. Have you heard that one? Right. Well, I'll tell you. As soon as he had Jesus Christ die for you, he's done with you. Because now all you got to do is make Jesus your Lord and believe God raised him, and you're perfect. You're complete. Isn't that what the Word of God says?
Yeah.
At that point, all that God had to do with you is done. God's done with you. Now it's up to you to believe what God's done for you. That might be something else. I've not believed yet. What God's done for me is more accurate than God's not done with me yet. God's not done with his way of saying, oh, I'm always going to keep on being, you know, unable to do what God's word says. It's false Christian humility is what it is. Where the Bible tells me, Raj, you ought to reign in life by the work of my son. Well, God's not done. I'm just a miserable sinner, broken before God. There's a great English term for that. It's called hooey. Romans chapter 8. Okay. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, right, to them which are in Christ Jesus. And the rest of it, as we know, is not in the text. If there's no condemnation, then I can't constantly be saying to myself, I'm a sinner and broken before the Lord. Verse 15 of Romans chapter 8. You guys know all this stuff. 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so that we, be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. No condemnation, children of God, heirs of Christ and joint heirs. Mike, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, that doesn't sound like broken people at all, does it? You know, and when we look at this stuff, one thing you got to be really careful of, it's not... it's not arrogance, because you could take this to be arrogant. You know, it says in Romans 6, we didn't read it, but it says that we shall reign in, we shall live in newness of life by what Jesus Christ accomplished. We're to live in newness. Actually, let's go back to Romans 6, just one second. I missed one verse I wanted to read. Actually, let's read it. We need to read this section. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead unto sin. Indeed, not sinners and sinners, dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, as I mentioned, it's not an arrogance to say, oh, I am this. It's not what the Word of God says. Here the whole section talks about the reason you can say this, because God allows you to identify with his Son. You are, he says here, we died with him, buried with him, raised with him, and we'll see in Ephesians later, seated with him at the right hand of God. And we identify with the Word, what Jesus Christ. It's not an arrogance. It's accepting what the Word of God says. You know, we used to... remember that record in Acts 3 where they said it's not by our own holiness we had made this man to walk, right? But by faith in his name. Again, they were able to do that great miracle, not because they were so amazing and wonderful, but they trusted and had faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Allowing ourselves to identify with him, allowing ourselves to reign in life, live in newness of life because of what Jesus Christ did. And you can be arrogant about it, but you shouldn't. Right. Now back to Romans chapter 8. I jumped ahead there for a second. Needed to read Romans 6. Romans chapter 8. And again, it's all along the lines, again, that we always say, but he must increase and we must decrease. Romans 8:31. Now, what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifieth? Of course not. Who condemns? Christ that died? No. Yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? He wouldn't do that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And if we were broken people and sinners, not one righteous, no, not one, that would be the situation, wouldn't it? But that's not what it says. It says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. If the Bible says we are more than a conqueror, how do you line that up with that I'm a broken individual and a sinner? Doesn't make any sense. The Bible says, I am more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors through Christ, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor your own thoughts, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's only us not thinking what the Word of God thinks or says about us that would allow us to think we're separated. Nothing that God says, Jesus Christ says, or anybody else can say or could say could separate you or could cause you to be accused before God. Look at Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read about the before unmentioned being. Revelation chapter 12. There's a lot of things that come at us every day. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. This is obviously a later events, but now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There is an accuser of the brethren. It's not Jesus Christ. It's not God. Neither of them will accuse you or me. None of them will say, oh, you're a sinner, broken individual. According to God, it says that we're supposed to reign in life by one Lord Jesus Christ. We're to live newness of life. We're to live justified. He's our justifier. He's made us righteous. So there is an accuser, and he will accuse you. Oh, what's the point of your life? You're only one person. No one believes you or listens to you anyway. What's the point? Why would you even bother standing? When's the last time you convinced someone to believe in Jesus Christ? Just goes on and on and on and on, right? You could just sit there all day, or you could say, what does the Word of God say about me? It says that I am reigning in life by one, the Lord Jesus, by what he did for me. I could say that. Well, here I'm. You could be your own person living by yourself. And you could think, well, my life's not worth anything. Well, Revelation 12:10 tells you where those thoughts come from. It's certainly not from God or the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, by the way, is responsible for the body to which you and I belong. So his opinion matters. Yeah? Your boss's opinion matters at work? Well, his opinion matters a lot more than your boss's opinion. And he won't accuse you. God, who, by the way, is the Lord's boss, it says, also will not accuse you. So the two opinions that matter more than anything else will not accuse you, will not condemn you, will only tell you that they see you as righteous and that you're to reign in life by the work of Jesus Christ. Does that sound like brokenness? Does that sound like sinner groveling? No, not at all. In Ephesians chapter 1. So stop listening to the accuser. Okay? No reason to listen to the accuser ever again. Ephesians chapter 1. If Romans wasn't enough, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before you. Are holy and without blame. That sound like a sinner or broken? No. Holy and without blame before him in love. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. And the more you study and understand God's word, the more we look at it, the more that phrase will mean to us. What it means to be blessed in the heavenlies in Christ. The more we think about what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, the more that phrase will mean and grow in what it means to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were, again, watch the words, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Are we still dead in trespasses and sins?
No.
We were. Wherein in time past, history, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that God from Revelation, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Even. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Are we still dead in sins?
No.
By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, that's where we are. Notice all the words, that's where we were, the heavenlies, right hand, is where we now are. Would not want to say that is anywhere near broken. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in. If God's word says you are his workmanship, and someone comes to you and says you are a broken person, would you want to accuse God of lying to you? Because that's what they're saying. Because my Bible, your Bible, says that we are his workmanship in creating Christ Jesus. So how could you be broken? How could you be a sinner and groveling? No. Reigning in life by one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Newness of life. You know, justified by the justifier who made you just. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him, our wonderful Father, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Filled with all the fullness of God. Broken? Hardly. Filled with all the fullness of God. Man, that's amazing. And Colossians chapter 2, which we have to read. So when you look at God's word, it certainly says a very different truth, sort of different information than the lie that we're broken, that we're sinners, that we're to grovel before him. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's used in religious circles to, again, as I said, it's a false humility. People, oh yeah, you're so wonderful, you're always talking about your brokenness, and oh, aren't you a humble person? You reckon that's not what God's word says. How are you going to ever help somebody thinking that way? Remember, Christianity is not a way of, I think we were talking about this Thursday, it's Christianity is not a self-help course. You know, for our whole lives, we come to the Bible and find ways in how the Word of God can benefit us, and we think about ourselves and all our brokenness and how we deal with the brokenness, and that's not what it's supposed to be. Even Jesus Christ, he didn't come to get ministered to, he came to minister. And if he tells us now to walk like him and to be followers of the Lord, then someday, eventually, we get to the point where, yes, I am reigning in life. I am more than a conqueror. I have Christ in me. I know the Lord's coming back for me. I've been made just. There's no accusation against me. Now, how do I help others? If I keep thinking of myself as a broken individual, I'm not going to be able to help anybody. And isn't that the goal of all this? So that we can reach. Even Jesus Christ said to the guys that were with him that weren't even born again, look at the look at the harvest. There's a lot of harvest out there. I don't have a lot of laborers. Can you guys pray that we get some more laborers? You want to labor? You want to work? You got to be confident of Christ in you. Got to be confident of what you have to offer this world. Doesn't matter if anybody ever believes you. That's not the point. The point is you being confident of what you have in Christ and walking in that confidence. Recognize you reign in life. King Patrick.
Right on.
Right? Queen Grace. King Grace and then Queen. King Liam. See, think of it that way. Reigning in life. And the two most important people. God, Lord Jesus Christ, will never hold anything against you. They're on your side. God is for you. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Not broken, but complete. And to close, there is a verse that says, talks about brokenness. We'll close that verse. Luke 20. You want to keep the word brokenness in your vocabulary. Here's the context you want to keep it in. It says it a few times in the Gospels, but we'll just read one of them. Luke 20. Verse 17. And he that beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which is which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. There's the word broken. If you want, there's the biblical use of the term broken. If anybody denies the Lord Jesus Christ, he is broken. And it said that, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. The Lord Jesus Christ, the power of all that's been accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ, if those who deny him, stumble at him, they're broken. But those who accept him, according to God's word, complete. Complete. You want to stay broken? People in the world want to stay broken. That's their business. But you and I never should think it. The only one that ever makes you think it is the accuser of the brethren. Like he tries to make us think all kinds of nonsense that is across purposes to God's word and the message to his people. We are not. We are complete. We reign in life, righteous and just by the work of Jesus Christ. Everything paid for. Nothing can separate us. And we are seated with the Lord at God's right hand, awaiting the return of the Lord. And God and the Lord Jesus Christ will never hold anything against us. So let's keep our terminology according to what the Word of God says. God bless.